used in the manner that you want it to be used to edify us in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're grateful to have sharing with us this morning in the preaching of God's word, our brother, Reverend Charles Thomas. Amen. Reverend Thomas has been a part of the Second Baptist Church for about 2 years now, and certainly we appreciate his teaching and his service to this body of Christ. So following the selection by the chancel choir, the preached message this morning comes to us in the person of Reverend Charles Thomas. Let us pray for him, let us pray with him, and let us bear witness to the truth of God's word. We'll say amen. Amen.
Whenever friends You're not walking alone. The body still on the throne. And the people of God can say amen to that. I would that you do me a favor, please. I beg you. I seriously beg you. If you really believe God is on the throne, would you say amen?
Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord. If you'll notice, I sort of let out a spontaneous yell when she started singing that song. I see a couple faces that were here during the 8 o'clock hour. And during the 8 o'clock hour, we talked about worshiping for results, so that we would begin to reflect on how we worship in order that we might get something out of it. And then I said at 11 o'clock, we talk about, ask the question, has your worship changed you? I want to pause with that for a moment because nobody can answer that. But you, that's an individual thing. But I want to ask you, and we're going to use the same text that we used this morning, Isaiah chapter 6. Let's just read the first part. I'm not going to ask you to, but I want you to catch the background out of which this comes. Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet says this. This is acknowledged to be by biblical scholars when he was called to preach, or he responded to his call to be a prophet. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two or twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with that's the throne room. Isaiah is given the opportunity to enter into the throne room where God himself lives. Not physically, but he gets a chance to see into it. And then, since nobody can have an encounter with the living God and remain the same, nobody. Y'all didn't hear me. No. You can go to church and leave just like you came. Okay? You can, it's like going to a game. You can go to the game and have a good time, but you leave, you're still the same. You can go to the auditorium and watch a play, enjoy the play. But when you leave, you are still the same. I would submit, I'm not trying to tell you, but I would submit for you to reflect on and think about. Do you really think it's possible to have an encounter with the one who scooped out the valley and spoke things into being, the creator of heaven and earth? Do you really believe you can have a head-on encounter with him and stay the same, Jay? I don't know, but I just don't believe that you can have an encounter with God and be the same. You can't walk in and walk out, not into his presence. You say, where you get that from, preacher? Well, I looked at Brother Moses. Moses was doing his own thing on the backside of the desert and had an encounter with God at a bush. God told him, don't strut yourself. Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Every place I look in the book, every time an ordinary, everyday man, whether he was a schemer like Jacob, an adulterer like David, whether he was a drunkard like, y'all do know about these fellows, right? A drunkard like Noah, wherever those men had an encounter with God, they didn't become perfect, but they didn't stay the same. I'm trying to help somebody. It just can't happen. Just can't happen. You can't have an encounter with the living God and remain the same. Look at Isaiah. He's trying to tell us something. He says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I didn't just see Uzziah die. I also, in addition to going to Uzziah's funeral, I also saw the Lord. Now, he lets us know. He puts those two together. It is Uzziah's death and his vision of God. Now, he did not decide to see God. We have to understand that. He didn't decide to see God. It was in the year of Uzziah's death that God allowed him to have an encounter such as he could see into his throne room. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. And I get the feeling, knowing the history in the background, I get the feeling that Isaiah needed that, because you see, Uzziah had been the king for 52 years. And I told the church this morning, Uzziah put a piece of meat on everybody's table. He was a great warrior. He was an excellent statesman. And Israel, only in the southern kingdom, only had 5 righteous kings, y'all. Only five. Now, you know that's a whole lot of leaders to say they don't know the Lord. All right. It's a whole lot of leaders. Sometimes we get the idea that every king and every person in the scripture was, you know, walking around with angel wings and stuff. But God's not painting that picture for us. He's given us a different picture. He is showing us how he works even in the midst of that which is wrong, in the midst of darkness, how he accomplishes his purposes for those who are his people, who walk by faith and take him. I'm trying to help somebody, okay? He says, I'm showing you how I work. I work. Got this new Johnny come lately on the throne. Jotham ain't but 25 years old. There's war coming. And Uzziah was his uncle. He wasn't just his leader, it was his uncle. You know, sometimes God has to vacate the throne room of your life in order to get your attention. See what you mean by that? You ever notice how God will sometimes take that which is so meaningful to you and move it out of the way so that you quit doting on that and begin to focus on Him? I mean, who in the world does God think He is that He can take what's dearest to me? Just so I'll focus on Him. Listen, y'all, I don't mean no harm, but God has blessed me to preach to 5,000 folk, and He's blessed me to preach to 3, and the message don't seem. I am just as excited and enthusiastic about the 3 as I am about the 5,000. Because I've learned. I mean, when I was young and stupid, I wanted to be a great preacher. Now I just want to preach a great message. But hey, listen. What is it about Him that He thinks He is worthy of our attention? He says He saw seraphim, burning ones, on fire, standing around. Now watch this. He gets a chance to look into the throne room where sovereign God, the covenant-making God, who is faithful to those who keep their trust in Him, he gets a chance to see Him on His throne. Like John in the book of Revelation, he sees Him. He sees the light, the burning, and John showed the contract and the emeralds. He saw the green rainbow. But that's not the part that is expensive or explained to Isaiah. Isaiah didn't need that. So that's why you don't try to tell people how to experience God. God will give them what they need at the time that they need it. Hello? Some of you shaking your head like you know what I'm talking about, like you got some history. Okay? You've been around folk who tried to tell you how God was working with you, and you knew they had missed it from yesterday and days gone by. Because in the depths of your soul, in your midnight hour, when your tears were flowing and you laying on your bed, you know how God deals with you. Whether it was on the bed, whether it was at the red light, whether it was at the church, you know how He dealt with you. He gave you exactly what you needed. And that's where Isaiah is. He says, I saw the Lord, and I see these burning beings, seraphim. Now you got seraphim, you got cherubim, and you got angels. Listen, y'all, don't go along with this thing about angels and it'll make everything an angel. In the scripture, angel is simply a function. The word malach means messenger. Whatever God is using or whoever He is using as a messenger, that's an angel. Do you hear me? Sometimes He uses supernatural beings. Sometimes He uses two-legged beings. Y'all don't hear me. Okay? Sometimes He'll use you to take a message to somebody. At that time, you become His. You heard me. You become His messenger. It's more function than it is an existential title. I see the cherubim. They crying, holy, holy, holy. That's got to be important, Brother Brown, because that's what you see in the book of Revelation. And that's what they doing. They crying, holy, holy, holy. It's almost as if God is trying to get over to His people that what makes it important, y'all, I'm not like you. I'm not like you. I am
Somebody got it because I heard them say it. I don't know what y'all did out there. But somebody back here got to say, I'm not like you. I am. Oh, you still don't get it, huh? Some of you want to sit there and look at me like you, like false sentinel of law. Come on here. I'm not like you. I am. I am high. I'm lifted up. The earth is mine, and it's full of my glory. Y'all don't get it, God. No, I know you don't get it. He said, listen. I'm the one who put the, I told him this morning, God says, I'm the one who put the wet in water. I'm the one who put the cold in ice. You don't get it yet either. You know, you barely can make it to the refrigerator. I'm trying to tell you about the one who created the ice and put the cold in the ice that you're trying to get to and complaining because you're still paying for it. You got the wrong picture of your blessings. I am holy. I scooped out the valley. Didn't cost me much. I just spoke it. And it happened. I am God. And I'm God. All by myself. There's no other like me. That's why you don't come into my presence and strut like a peacock. You don't come into my presence to worship me and act like you are the star of the show. You come into my presence and you cover your feet. You humble yourself. You come into your presence. I'm trying to help somebody. You know why I'm trying to help you? I ain't fussing at you. I'm trying to help you. I ain't mad at you. I'm trying to help you. You plan on going to heaven and being in the presence of God. You better have a dress rehearsal down here. You're going to be out of place, and God is just too much of a loving God. He cares too much about you to let you be out of place. In heaven, y'all, they make noise. They shout holy. They bow before God. They humble themselves before God. I'm just trying to. I don't know why folk think you're always trying to help the folk next to them. I ain't trying to help the person sitting next to you. Or else they go one step worse, but that, that's, you know what they do? You know, so-and-so ought to be here. What? Now, come on. Don't you know that God has you here for a reason? Could it be that he's talking to you? Why they cover their feet? Because standing in the presence of God, you only unveil your feet when you get ready to do something. Those who are closest to God always humble themselves. You can tell when a person has spent time with God. Let me give you a good idea. They don't have a bumper sticker on the car. I haven't told you yet. But a person who has spent time with God is not the one who has a cross around their neck. The person who has spent time with God is like Isaiah. They get a good picture of themselves. You don't hear me? The closer you get to God, the more you realize how unholy you are. That's important because the average person spends time at church and in their prayer life trying to become more holy. No.
If you humble yourself in his presence, he will work the miracle of transformation in you. And he will begin to change you on the inside. What you trying to accomplish by new rules and regulations, there's so much wrong with you that you can't be fixed by a rule or a commandment. It's going to take the transforming power of the Spirit of God working in your soul. That which is bothering you, which you know is unacceptable, just accept it as a fact. Humble yourself in God's sight and tell him like your grandmother used to tell him. She didn't have the degrees that you got, but you know what grandma used to say? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, and I'm standing in the need of prayer. In case you didn't get it, she says, not my mother, not my father. She was trying to tell you, quit looking at your neighbor and finding out what's wrong with him. Stand in the mirror of self-reflection and tell the Lord. My husband didn't make me angry, Lord. I had anger already inside of me. He just made me let it out. Girlfriend didn't make me put my hands on my hips. That was my problem anyway. She gave me the opportunity. I'm trying to help somebody. It's me. Isaiah said, when I got a look at the Lord and he showed me into his presence, I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of unclean people. The reason why I want to emphasize that on my way to my seat, because I have noticed over the years that the people who really know the Lord and have spent time with him and get closer to him, if you don't help to remind them of what thus saith the Lord, Satan will get on their shoulder and make them think something's wrong with them. Just because they see that they're not what they used to be. Now, when you're young and stupid, you don't care about that. You're trying to get a job, get some money, all that other stuff. But the closer you get to the grave and you know you got more years behind you than you got in front of you, your values change and you begin to march by a different drum. Am I helping somebody? You begin to march by a different drum beat. Need to know. God just shows you how good he's been and how much his grace and mercy has been in your life. Even before you had enough sense to walk down the aisle and get a preacher your hand. His grace and his mercy. Because he chose you. Not when you got sense enough to go to church, but he chose you before the foundation of the world, before your mama and daddy got together in that dynamic experiment called sex. I guarantee you they wasn't trying to make you. They wasn't thinking about you. God leaned over the balcony of heaven and said, I'm going to use this selfish, self-centered moment to bring into being that person that I want to make. You are mine to use for my glory. I chose you. Johnson, you know what? I love you and smell of death. You know what? I don't mean no harm, but between us and the gatepost, you think the Lord put me in the pulpit and y'all on deacon boy because y'all was good? No. He didn't put me in the pulpit because I was a good fella. My God don't shop at Dillard's. My God goes to the junk pile.
goes to the trash can. See, that's why some folk will never get to know him, because they're trying to be Dillard style instead of humbling themselves and becoming rejects. God uses what the world throws away. Then he picks it up, washes it in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that when he get through with it, can't nobody get the credit but him. Satan himself and angels. The church is a university where Satan and his angels are getting an education in the mercy and grace of God. And since I said that, I guess I need to throw it, because that's about worship. But worship also gives you something to shout about. In other words, worship gives you something to make some noise about. If you don't worship, you'll never make no noise. You ain't got nothing. Man, you can go to a basketball game. I love the game, but guess what? If I go to a basketball game with somebody who don't know the game, they ain't gonna make no noise. They just can't. They ain't got nothing to get excited about. If you don't know the difference between the field goal and 3 points, guess what? You don't know the difference between the foul shot and 3-point shot, guess what? You ain't gonna make no noise when a homeboy hits one from out there by half court. Guess what? It's the difference between a layup and a 3-pointer. Ain't that right, man? I ain't gonna get excited about a layup as I do about a 3-point shot. I understand why you don't make noise. You don't know the God I know. You know about him. I ain't gonna take that from you. You got a few Sunday school scriptures, but you haven't had a head-on encounter with him. Once you have a head-on encounter with him, it changes from your intellect and becomes something that has gotten into your heart. And you say, something got a hold of me. Oh, it won't let go. Sometimes it feels like fire shut up in my bones. I even said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Jeremiah said, like fire shut up in my bones. Yes. But I'm going to sit down, because I don't. Mama told me, boy, when you stand up, speak up and shut up. Okay. So I'm going to do that. But let me tell you something. And I'm really just trying to help somebody. Okay. Went out the other night with my wife. We were sitting out on the back porch, and I have a program on my iPad where I can look at the stars. And I was looking at the constellations. Those of you who have been blessed to matriculate in the halls of academia, you know what a constellation is, and you know there's just 12 of them, right? You know that. I know you know that. Even if you sit at the back of the science class, you know that. Hello? But let me show you what Jesus is talking about when he says Satan is a deceiver. Satan has so twisted the message that God wrote in the stars that all we see is people talking about horoscopes and trying to tell the future. But that's not the message he put up there. And believe it or not, I'm not going to get excited here, because I want you to hear me. Let me tell you what God wrote in the stars for those of us. He says, all my plans and purposes will center around a man named Jesus. I'm going to redeem the world and bring it back to myself through a man named Jesus. Now, since human man will never satisfy, I'm going to incarnate my son into a human flesh, and that will be my way of bringing the world and those whom I choose back into a relationship with me to be a part of my family in eternity. Can I have some fun? Y'all looking too serious. Everybody else can go to hell, but I am going to pick out some for myself. And I'm going to write it in the stars. And I'm glad he wrote it in the stars, because you know what I've discovered over the years? Half the folk got Bibles and won't read them. It's in the book. They buy him. It's the best-selling book year after year. But folk bring their Bibles to church, those that bring them. But today, they don't even bring Bibles. They go click, click on the cell phone. Can't study no cell phone. Hello? But guess what? He wrote it in the stars. And if I could get this message across, everybody that knows their sign, quote unquote, would at least say amen. Because if you're a Virgo, you know it. If you're a Libra, you know it. If you're a Scorpio, you know it. Anybody in here don't know their sign? Well, let me tell you what your sign is really all. Let me tell you the message that God put on the, that he wrote on the ecliptic with those 12 constellations. He started off with Virgo. Virgo, the virgin. He says, I'm going to bring my son into the world. And I'm going to use a virgin. Oh yeah, the virgin shall conceive. I said I wasn't going to get excited. Hello? So I'm going to write this story in redemption so that if they look up at the stars, they'll be able to know. I'm going to write the story. When I bring the son of that virgin, the child of that virgin into the world, he will pay the price of justice. That's what the next sign in the constellations, a Libra. God Almighty, any Libras in the house? You ought to at least say, that's me. After I bring, he's paid the price of justice. Guess what? In doing so, he is going to overcome the wound of the heel. That's Scorpio. It just happens to be the next constellation. I'm telling you, God wrote the story. He wrote it in the stars, and we can't even get excited about it on Sunday. Good God Almighty. He said that conqueror would be the scapegoat of the atonement. That's Capricorn. That's the next one. And then I'm going to bring living waters for his people. That's Aquarius, the water bearer. Then those people would be blessed, though they were bound. That's the Pisces, the fish. Oh, my God. Those blessings would be consummated through a ram of sacrifice. Everybody know that's Aries. Then he would become a ruling leader like Taurus the bull. That's next. You picking up on it right now, aren't you? Huh? You picking up on it? Okay. Then he would be like a king with two natures. Whoa, you got two natures. One divine and one human. That's Jesus Christ. That's sure enough, Jesus. He would hold his people fast in his grip like cats on a crab. But that's not the end of the story. Because the last constellation is Leo the lion. And he would ultimately reign as king over the earth. And the kingdom of God would become God's kingdom. And things would be on earth as they are in heaven. And you know why we get excited? We get excited over the name Jesus. Oh, how precious is his. I don't care if I don't like you. I dare you to say Jesus. Something gets, oh, even if she can't sing, man, I got to say, oh, go ahead, girl, holler for Jesus. Don't have to be on key. I know what the songwriter says. The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love his praise to repeat. It sounds in my precious name. Yeah, I can't sing it, but you can. Oh, oh, gee. Oh, how sweet. sweet name. Do you know him?
Jesus.
What's your sign, baby?
Every day the same.
I can't hit that high note.
Let all
the saints proclaim
his worthy praise.
His worthy praise.
Forever.
Oh, Jesus. If you don't know him, God wrote it in the stars. He put it in the book. And then he sent foolish messengers like us to make the story plain. We don't exalt ourselves. I know we got folk around us to try to make us think we something. But we've had an encounter with the living God. We know we're not. We just tell the story. And it's all about Jesus.
Oh, how sweet the name.
Jesus.
Let all earth proclaim.
Let all the earth proclaim.
His worthy.
His worthy. And if the song hasn't grabbed you yet, I tell you what you do. You tell somebody who he is. There are tears rolling down your eyes. Confusion in your home. Tell somebody. Though the storm keep on raging in my life, I'm gonna tell somebody who he is. Though the road gets rough and the going gets tough, I'm gonna tell somebody. Trials dark on every hand, and I cannot understand all the ways that God would lead me to that blessed promised land. I promise. And I'm going to serve him till I die. And you know what? I'll understand it better. Y'all don't hear me. I will understand it better. I can hear speaking from the grave. Speak up.
Shut up.
But he's sweet. He's been good to me. Looked beyond my faults. Met my needs. Sends me out as a broken vessel, unworthy to declare his word, to make others see who he is. I'm going to call and praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The church is standing, our officers are coming, choir is singing. Let us all stand as we extend the invitation. The doors of the church are open. If you're here today and you made the decision to commit your life to Christ, we invite you to come. has your worship changed you? Have you had an encounter with God and you're no longer the same? How thankful we are for Reverend Thomas, and how thankful we are, amen, for him allowing God to use him today to challenge us. We're going to ask him if he would come at this time, give us our benediction, and then our dismissal. Thank you now.